Bloomberg Surveillance with Ken Pruitt and Tom Keene. Listen on demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Now available free for both iPhone and Android devices.
Well, this is a real honor for me. And you know, poor Scarlett sitting over there, because Coach Knight and I have just been sitting here chatting about fly fishing and basketball at West and things like that. But Bobby Knight is here. He is the former coach of Indiana, the former coach of Texas Tech, and he has written a new book called The Power of Negative Thinking, which is exactly the kind of title you would expect from Coach Knight, but it actually distills down to some very good wisdom. Basically you're telling people, don't get surprised. Prepare, prepare, prepare.
Well, you know, everybody wants to win, but the whole key is, are you willing to prepare to win? And that kind of is the takeoff for what I look upon as the ability to think negatively to bring about positive results. In other words, we can't beat this team unless we keep them off the board. We can't beat this team if we let their press hurt us. And I think when we're trying to, whatever our endeavor is, when we're looking for success, what's going to keep us from getting there? What is there that we just can't do and enable us to win at whatever it is that we're doing? I think that words that are really important in success are no, can't, don't. Great question to ask is why. And I think all of those things preempt the whole realm of positive thinking. You know, you can be anything you want. Well, jump off a cliff and fly. It doesn't work real well. So I think there's another approach that I've always felt has helped us in our attempt to win.
It sounds like the sports version of Tiger Mom, strict parenting, where you lay out specific targets for children to reach in order to get to the next level.
Well, except that I think you have to look at your kids and determine what you think they can do and what they can't do. So many times, parents want something done in their own shadow. You know, I want my son to be the best pitcher on the little league team. Well, maybe he ought to be the catcher or maybe he should be the outfielder, whatever it is. I think parents have to be very careful about what they want for their kids. It has to be within the realm of their kids' ability to be something, whatever that something's going to be.
Well, I guess if you're talking about success in any field, it's identifying what your strengths are. And as you say in the book, dealing with your weaknesses.
Well, but I think you do have to, you know, we're all kind of prone not to identify our weaknesses nearly as quickly as we identify our strengths. And maybe we all probably have a tendency to think we can do something that we might be a lot better off having somebody else do. You know, it's like simple thing in basketball. Let the shooter shoot.
That's their job.
And let everybody play defense. And that's and that's a negative thought, because we're not going to let, you know, I'm not going to let all three of you shoot, because she looks to me like she shoots a lot better than you two guys
she
do.
She does.
It's so clear.
I mean, I made up for it by not being able to rebound either. Actually, I was at the Brooklyn Nets game the other night, it was just unbelievable display of shooting there. And, you know,
I go back several years when in a discussion with Bill Parcells, Bill made the comment that a lot of big, great, potentially great football players, ends, defensive ends, are all playing basketball. And that's probably true. There are a lot of big guys that in special positions would be great football players.
Have they gotten bigger since you were coaching them?
They're more
in other sports.
A lot more bigger players playing today, and I think there are a lot more good players playing today than there. In every walk of life, we've seen improvement, and in all sports, I think we've seen it there.
How would you apply the lessons in your book, The Power of Negative Thinking, to company executives, CEOs?
Well, I just think that you start thinking positive about things, it becomes hope and I think. And when you look at it from what we can't do, then all that's left is what we should do. But if we don't pay attention to what we can't do, then we're going to get in a bind. If I have him shooting too much or allow him to, then we can't win. We can't overcome the fact that he's not a good shooter. If I have you handling the ball against the press and you actually are not real good with the ball, you have three straight turnovers, that's not your fault. It's my fault. And I think that it is really important that we have people doing the things they can do in whatever walk of life we're in. And that I don't think that hope enters into it. I don't think wishful thinking is a part of it. I think that my job as an executive is to recognize what my players can do and what they can't do.
Well, how did you deal with it? And we're going to come back in a moment after a break and talk a little bit about basketball today. But how did you deal with players who could do those things, but for some reason weren't, having a bad game or their minds weren't focused or something?
Well, I think that let's say that we've got a kid that's a really good shooter, and he's maybe missed three in a row or something like that. I may take him out and I said, Jimmy, your footwork's bad. You got to get your shooting foot forward. You're leaning back when you shoot the ball. And maybe it's a situation where he shouldn't be shooting. Maybe this is not a kid that we want taking an 18-foot jump shot. We can't treat, I've never treated all players alike because some are better than others. And it isn't that I like players better than other players. Yeah. I think one of my biggest jobs as a coach is to get people doing what they can do. And there are very few players that can do everything.
Bobby Knight is our guest here. Did you ever fill out a bracket?
No.
I know that... Who was it? Rick Neuheisel out in UCLA, the football coach, got in trouble once for filling out.
No, I really never did. And people will ask me, and I'll say, like this year, there's a dozen teams that'll be pretty good. There's no one that's better than everybody.
Indiana is number one seed in the Big Ten tournament. How good are they? How far can they go?
I think they're good. I think they've played well. But as I said, I think there might be a dozen teams like that as you go around the country that are good, but everybody has lost 5, 6, 7 games. There isn't anybody that's just lost 1 or 2 games over the course of the year.
Do you regret that there's a Big Ten tournament now?
I regretted then that there was a Big Ten tournament. I thought it was a waste. I never believed in the postseason tournament because let's say that in our league, your team has a record in our league of 14-2, and we come along with our record of 8-8, and we beat you. Well, we may become the league champion because that's what they do with that league tournament. I have never agreed with that. And I think that it's just a waste because you've already determined through 16 or 18 games what the hierarchy of your league is. And I thought it was ridiculous to then go on and play in a league tournament after that. I think that's a misuse of the kids that are there. It's a money proposition. My team's going to get tired. I really never cared whether we won that tournament or not because we'd had a good record in the league. The next thing was the NCAA tournament, not a league tournament that maybe we'd already won.
Well, let's talk about Indiana today because, as Mike said, ranked number one in the Big Ten. The coach, Tom Crean, we wonder, do you see any similarities between you and
Tom
Crean?
I haven't seen them play, really. I don't know enough to talk about them. My thing has always this year been in the Southeastern Conference. And I just really, the one thing about the Big Ten, I think that it is stronger this year than it's been in quite a while. And I think that probably involves maybe as many as 5 teams that are playing pretty well. I think Indiana, Michigan, Michigan State, Wisconsin. I think Minnesota's won a couple of huge games. So I think that it's a better league than it has been.
Any sleepers out there? Any teams that you have seen that maybe aren't on people's radar screens that are better than people think?
No, I don't think so. I think that's kind of a misnomer to think there's somebody out there that people really don't know about. I think that like a team like VCU, what they did a year or two ago was exceptional, but they were exceptional throughout the season, right into the early games. Now, what might happen is somebody real early in the first couple of rounds might all of a sudden be playing better than they've ever played before. And that would work to their advantage because I just don't think there's a team that can beat everybody.
The television interview you did a short time ago, you were at, I want to bring it back to your book here. You suggested that people can stay too long in a place. And obviously, if you were talking about yourself, that would probably be Indiana, because that's where you spent the bulk of your career.
Well,
did you stay too long there?
I think so. And I think I really stayed too long at Texas Tech. I think that you've got to really sit in and am I in cohesion with the other people? Am I and if you're not, then you need to go someplace else. And I also think in coaching, it's not all that bad to give yourself another perspective, look at another thing. Now, can we put this one where we did? And we put, I think in 6 years that I coached entirely at Tech, I think we went to the NCAA four times and the NIT once. Well, at that point, I should have been, that's about as good as we're going to be. So rather than try to continue to be as good as you are, maybe let's try something somewhere else.
It's about recognizing your limits in many ways.
Well, yeah, you recognize your limits, you wouldn't coach. If you've got limits, you don't want to get involved in coaching. I think you have to go, and I know what you're suggesting, and I think it's absolutely right. You know, we are probably each good at something, and that's what we should really stay with.
And that's one of the lessons, I guess, of your career and in the book, is identify strengths.
Oh, I think so. And also I think that I had some really people that I've really had a tremendous respect for talk to me about different aspects of offense or defense, and I always listened and I thought about them, and then if I felt there was something that we could put into what we were doing, I did. But I never went into a wholesale change just because somebody I respected thought that was a good approach. I like to think that we had done what was best for our kids, and maybe we could add a little bit to it, or maybe even detract from it. But I've never been one to, I don't think you win much with surprise and change. You win a lot with simplicity and execution, but surprise and change doesn't win a lot.
Who's the best basketball player you ever saw?
The best basketball player I ever saw was Jordan. Without any question. Now, there were other great players like Jerry West, Oscar, I'm sure that if you said you picked Oscar or West, you wouldn't have anything wrong with that. I happened to coach Jordan in the Olympics, and he was great to coach, and West and Robertson are great players. I mean, they're the three best players.
You're not putting Kobe on that list.
No. These three guys are just better, I think.
Or LeBron James, for that matter.
Than who?
Or LeBron James, for that matter.
Well, I'll tell you one thing that I say, though, is the most valuable player was Russell. I mean, there's nobody in any sport that was as valuable as Russell was. Russell won two NCAA championships, Olympic championship in 13 years with the Celtics, won 11. That's like 14 or 15 major championships in 15, 16 years, only 1 year.
That's an incredible record.
It is. There's no record in the history of sport in terms of winning like Bill Russell had. Bill Russell is the most valuable player in my mind to ever play a sport.
Bobby Knight, I'm sure everybody says this. We wish we had hours to continue our conversation, but it's so great of you to stop by. The former coach. Well, I mentioned Indiana and I mentioned Texas Tech, but you were at West Point as well.
Well, I think West Point was the greatest opportunity I could have had. I was 24 years old and worked for a tremendous athletic director named Ray Murphy and a great dean named John Janarone, and worked for a couple guys I didn't care for, which is always something that's important.
That happens.
To know who you like and who you don't like.
Well, the book is called The Power of Negative Thinking, an unconventional approach to achieving positive results.
Listen to Bloomberg Surveillance weekday mornings at 7 Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on Sirius and XM satellite radio channel 113. Copyright 2013, Bloomberg LP.